Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
Go tell that long tongue lie. Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. As always, we're going right to the front lines of history in the making. And I want to say today, it's a big day here at the station in Wisconsin. President Joe Biden and Agricultural Secretary Tom Vilsack and Congressman Ron Kind are going to be supporting them visiting Western Wisconsin, President Biden. And Devil Radio is going to be covering it. Devil Radio this afternoon, Dom and Kroot, the Devil's Advocates, is broadcast live out of La Crosse. La Crosse with Dom and Kroot's alma mater. They're both UW La Crosse guys. They're going back to their alma mater to do the show live this afternoon. So be sure to tune in to Dom and Kroot, Devil's Advocate, this afternoon. A lot to get to. There's a lot to get to. And we're going to start with the infrastructure bill. Moscow Mitch, always the hairball clogging the drain. Moscow Mitch, what is he doing now? Threatening to blow up the infrastructure deal. Threatening to blow it up. Why is he threatening to blow it up? Just to make Biden look bad. It doesn't matter if it hurts or helps the country. Moscow Mitch. And here is his ostensible reason. He said, well, Joe Biden said there was linkage between the shovel-ready hard infrastructure money, which, depending on how many years it's paid out over, probably 12 years, so it'll probably be a little over $1 trillion for bridges, roads, airports, for our infrastructure, our hard infrastructure, broadband, water systems, terrific. That is linkage, according to Moscow Mitch, between that and the so-called soft infrastructure, which is education, child care, and climate change. Okay, so he's saying, well, I'll do the one, but not the other. And Biden seemed to link them and blah, blah, blah. So Biden on Saturday said, look, here's the deal. I want them both. But we have 10 Republican votes to bust the filibuster. And McConnell's not one of them, by the way, but 10 of them. We have Mitt Romney and this one and that one, Lisa Murkowski, and 10 of them. So we're going to put that through. And when it comes to my desk, I am going to sign it. I'm not going to wait for the second one to be signed. The second one, what we're going to do is do that through budget reconciliation. Budget reconciliation, where we only need 50 Democratic votes plus Kamala Harris, and then we will pass that too. And to review the bidding on this one, Mitt Romney said, well, that clarification helps a great deal, clears the water. Joe Biden is a good man. Trust him. I think that's great. But Moscow Mitch, that weasel, hairball clogging the drain, sticks the stiletto in, and he goes, well, I want Nancy Pelosi and Schumer to say that. I want them to get down on their knees, tug on their forelocks. Schumer doesn't have much of a forelock anymore. The whole business of tugging on the forelock goes back to ancient China, where they looked on the emperor as God, okay? So if you looked at the emperor, you'd be executed. You couldn't look at God. So what happens when the emperor summoned you to an audience with him? You crawled in on your belly and your knees and didn't look up. As you got in front of him, you grabbed your hair and pulled it down three times to show deference to God. Now, I don't know what Telly Savalas would have done, or Yul Brynner. I mean, what if you're as bald as a cue ball? What do you tug on? Maybe you tug on your nose or your chin. I don't know. But anyway, McConnell wants Pelosi and Schumer to debase themselves, to kneel in front of him, tug on their forelock. And he's in the minority, by the way. He's a minority. He's no good. He's helped to ruin the country with Trump. Of course, Pelosi and Schumer brushed him off. It remains to be seen whether McConnell has the votes within his caucus to stop 10 of them from joining the hard infrastructure. I think that's going to be hard to do. I think that's going to be hard to do because people's expectations are up. These are capital assets. They really deteriorate after about 40 years. You've got to maintain roads. You've got to rebuild bridges. You can't have unsafe bridges. In a lot of places in the country, the bridges are closed down. You have to take circuitous routes. That's not right. Airports have to be upgraded. They simply have to be upgraded. For safety reasons, they have to be upgraded. The equipment has to be upgraded. Broadband, what kind of broadband is there in a lot of rural America? In a lot of rural America, you have bad internet connections, bad cell phone, can't get a signal out, can't get a signal in. If you're trying to run a small business in rural Wisconsin with bad internet, what do you do? I mean, as far as things like online ordering, as far as things like in a restaurant, making a reservation, that kind of thing, it really hurts small business. It hurts it bad, and it hurts the spread of big business going into areas with lots of jobs. So I think McConnell may have a hard time stopping that. A lot of folks in the red states are going to say, well, I sure would like one of those jobs, one of those union jobs at high pay. There are many thousands of them for a long, long time doing this, constructing all this stuff. What do I think is really going on? Well, let me tell you. What I think is really going on, Biden is probably the most experienced Senate negotiator in the country right now. And he's not even in the Senate. He's president. But he went into the Senate in 1972. He was elected when he was 29 years old. You have to be 30 to serve in the Senate. He was lucky. His birthday was in December. He got elected in November of 1972 at the age of 29. He turned 30 in December, just in time to be sworn in. And sadly, you may remember his wife and his little baby girl were killed in a very, it was unbelievably sad, in an auto accident right around Christmas. They were going out to buy a Christmas tree. Some guy barreled through a red light or something and broadside them, killed his wife, his young wife, killed his baby girl, and his two sons, who survived, were badly hurt, and they were in the hospital a long time. He almost gave up his Senate seat, and he was persuaded by Republicans as well as Democrats, the leadership, to keep his seat. And what he did was he commuted to Wilmington, Delaware every day. Go to the Senate in the morning. That's a long train ride, a long commute from Wilmington, Delaware to Washington, D.C. And then at the minute the Senate was over, he didn't go out partying with all the senators and schmoozing at the civic events and all that. Jumped right on the train, went back to be with his boys. They were finally let out of the hospital. He had a very strong family structure, a wonderful sister, and that's how they survived that emotionally. So, but since 1972, Joe Biden spent most of his life in the Senate, and he ended up as chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee. And he worked very, very closely, not only with people like Pat Leahy and Ted Kennedy and all of those people, but also on the Republican side. A lot of respect by Republicans for him. And so he knows what he's doing. So why is he doing it this way? Why did he initially say, well, I need both of them, or I'm not going to sign either one of them, and then clarify that on Saturday and saying, I am going to get both of them. And the first one that comes to my desk, I will sign. I'm not going to wait for the second one because I know it's coming. He's doing it because he has two adversaries to negotiate with. One of them are the Republicans, who would shut down this country if they could, if it would disadvantage him and give them the presidency in 2024. And the other one is Joe Manchin and his running dog, Kyrsten Sinema. He has to negotiate with both of them because if he doesn't have Manchin and Sinema, he doesn't have budget reconciliation for anything. So that's why he did it. What he did is he was saying to Manchin, look, Jack, you want that hard infrastructure, that good hard infrastructure that'll employ a lot of people in West Virginia who aren't used to high wages and unions. Well, guess what? That's coming, but you are going to get off the dime on the other infrastructure, on education, childcare, and broadband and climate change. You get the picture, Jack? Joe, you get the picture, and that's what's going on. Now, what he's doing is, it depends on how decent a guy Manchin is. I mean, Manchin will have to go along with the bipartisan hard infrastructure bill, the roads and the bridges and so forth. He's got to go along with that. And that'll be the first one to pass, and they look for it possibly in July. But if the other one doesn't go to budget reconciliation till the new budget is submitted, that could be September or October. Is Manchin going to stick to the deal? Or is Manchin going to get wobbly? Is Manchin going to have memory issues? Manchin going to say, geez, I don't remember that. I hope not. I think basically he's a fairly stand-up guy. I mean, he comes right out and says what he's going to do, even if we don't like it. Former governor of West Virginia, very popular guy. And they must have a commitment from him that says, if you put, you give me some of that good, sweet bipartisan cover, you get some Republicans to do hard infrastructure, and I will slip you a vote on soft infrastructure for budget reconciliation. So there you have it. That's my take. And I think it's a pretty accurate take. So stand by. When hard infrastructure passes, take a good look at Manchin, at his troubled little eyes, and say, Manchin, you got some good bipartisan cover on the one that'll cover you in West Virginia. You better come correct to some respect. When we break, the lines are still open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Backbiter, tell them that God's gonna cut you down. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down.